Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to give you an early look at Super Bowl action is Vic Choksi, senior editor of gambling at Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at DocSquad33. Vic, great to have you on the show.
Great to be on, sir, and super excited with the Super Bowl right around the corner.
Yeah, so what we're going to do, a quick recap of what we learned last week and then look forward to the Super Bowl and the conference championship. A little good, little bad. We won on the 49ers. We did not win on the Chiefs and the over, both bets of which at multiple times during that matchup looked like, boom, these are both going to cash. But Vic, the number one thing that stood out to me that I learned last week, and it has continued to be a narrative through this entire playoffs, is the opportunities that present itself in live betting. So when the Chiefs were up 14-3, they've got the ball and they're driving. I popped on the live betting line to see what it was. And it was Bengals getting 16.5. And I wasn't on the Bengals even at the 7.5, but I also wasn't because I didn't believe that was going to be the best number that they were going to get, because simple logic said there's a pretty good chance that the Bengals are going to get down early in this game and that number is just going to jump up. And what happened? Boom, that opportunity presented itself. And we've seen this time and time again throughout this playoffs. And I'm curious your thoughts around live betting mindset, because as we look forward to the Super Bowl, there are going to be opportunities that present itself.
I love that you brought that up just for two reasons. One, I've become a big advocate of live betting the last two NFL seasons, especially with COVID and everything else, the uncertainty before kickoff, right? And so what I do is before every game, I create a list of windows that I love. And so if there's an early score and I get extra points and that team was on my window, I will grab those extra points. And you nailed it with the Bengals last week, because that was exactly how I saw it beginning. And grabbing those extra points definitely helps, because you know it always comes down to the end. I mean, luckily it didn't at that live number. But to your point, I'm going to be doing the same thing again come the Super Bowl. And so I think we're going to be able to tell right away in the Super Bowl if it's going to be a shootout or a rock fight, right? So Zach Taylor was a Sean McVay disciple. He was his assistant for 2 years under the Rams. And so I do think we'll get a good look and a good feel. And that's how I'm approaching kind of the side when it comes to the Super Bowl. I like the Bengals. I like it at 4.5. I know the public's driving that number up a little bit, so I haven't taken them yet. And because I think the Rams are going to be the team to score first, and that way I'll be able to get maybe the Bengals over a touchdown. So, you know, I love live betting, and you hit the nail on the head. I know we talked a little bit last year too, and that was something you were getting into as well. And so I love that you talk about it on your podcast.
Yeah, so heading forward to the Super Bowl, we got the Rams laying 4.5. That number has moved up from 3.5 to 4, and now 4.5, taking on the Bengals. Over under in this one, 48.5. And one of the things that we love to do is talk about process. And Vic, I love how you created these live betting windows. It shows into your process. So for me, I even spoke it on the podcast. We had Chris Andrews on last week. And I mentioned to him, hey, I would be looking if I'm on the Bengals on the live betting line. He's like, oh, if you can see that happening. But it's like, that's part of the training of what I'll call the new age better, where we can see the opportunities. It's not going to always hit for us, but we want to prepare for it. When looking at the Super Bowl, and of course, we're recording this on Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, and we still have a week and a half, so I'm not ready to lock in all my action. But here's where I am when it comes to the side. Just pick who you think is going to win this game. And why is this? The last team that won the Super Bowl but did not cover was in 2009, the Pittsburgh Steelers. In that game, the Santonio Holmes game, where they beat the Arizona Cardinals, they won by 4. The spread was 7. That is 13 years ago in which the spread finally came into play. So when you think about this, 3.5 versus 4.5, it's almost irrelevant, because for the last 13 years, that has not been part of this. So for me, I'm going to go into this and say, starting off, who do I think is going to win?
I love that breakdown, and you bring up great historical statistics, and that's literally been the trend. And it's not a small sample size, right? It's not just 2-3 years. You nailed it. So I am of the same mindset. And so I always look to that to start. And that's why I circle the Bengals. And that's why I'm waiting for the line to go up to be able to just get a couple more points. But like you said, it might not even matter in this case, but that is a great way to look at it. So when you're talking about process, that is what I start with on a side. And then I'm trying to pick odds makers' minds, right? And reach out to everybody that I know. I try to basically see where the public is betting. It's not the end all be all, but if I ask 10 buddies who they're betting on and all 10 of them are like, this is a slam dunk. And I usually circle that a little bit or flag it, right? And it makes me lean the other way because not only am I contrarian, but if it was that easy, then me and you, sir, would not be on this pod. We'd be chilling on an island, right? So, you know, those are definitely a couple things that I take into effect. And then, of course, just getting into the metrics. I'm a big metrics guy. So looking at efficiency, just Football Outsiders, DVOA, just anything and everything I can do to kind of find that edge or find that number that I like. And so to your point, that's a great starting point. And then those are a couple of other things I stack on before I make my final bets.
And with the Super Bowl, unlike other weeks, I think what makes this unique is part of being a profitable sports bettor is picking and choosing your spots or your games or your teams. But here we are with a one of one game. So when normally we'd be sitting with a slate of 16 games, and of course, if you're an action junkie, you're going to have action all across the board. But sometimes you may only say, I've got 5 games, I've got 3 games, which helps you get rid of stuff and then find stuff that you like. In this instance, we're looking at a one of one. So I don't want to be so locked in on all of my action is just on the Bengals or the Rams, knowing that it just doesn't seem like it's a profitable mindset. So one of the other things that I'm looking at regarding the side is alternative lines. So moving forward in this podcast, what I want to do is present options for ways that we can bet or ways that we can think about this. So looking at, you could get the Rams -11.5 at +236. Is it crazy that they could win by 2 touchdowns? No, not at all, because this is a Bengals team that was over 101 preseason to be here. So you can certainly see the narrative in which the Rams will win by 2 scores. On the flip side, if the Bengals were to win, all right, you could get them at -2.5 at +197 or -3.5 at +278. Now, all of a sudden, we're starting to look at these plus odds a little bit better. And if we just take of who we think's going to win and then based on the win, all right, what does that look like? I think unlike other weeks, the opportunities that present themselves, knowing how all in of a moment or final this game is, anything can happen. And if anything can happen, let's start betting on some of these edges in plus money.
No, I love that approach. And you nailed it, especially because of the point you brought up before this question, right? And just looking at history, it doesn't matter sometimes what the spread's going to be. So if the dog's going to win, why not take an alternative line like that and get 2, 3, 4x your money, right? And so I've definitely looked at a little bit of that on this angle for the Super Bowl, but I can't lie, I'm an action junkie. I have fun with it too, right? So, you know, I'm watching it with my buddies. So we will definitely bet on like the coin toss and the anthem and some of those where you don't really have an edge, but you're just trying to have fun, but then dig deeper into the props and other kind of ways I can make money. But you nailed it. I love that approach to kind of the alternative lines, so to say.
So before we get to the total, the number one thing that stood out to me when initially looking at this game, so you're like, all right, Rams versus Bengals, first thing that you think about for me was the Rams defensive line versus the Bengals offensive line. And I just can't get out of my head the 9 sacks the Titans had when the matchup happened. And here comes the Rams, a team with Aaron Donald. So I decided to look a little bit deeper in the numbers right here. The Bengals, 31st in the NFL in sack rate allowed at 9.17%. On the flip side, Rams, sixth best in the NFL. So we have a strength in the offensive line for the Rams and a severe weakness on the offensive line for the Bengals. Well, then looking at sack rate, the Rams have a 6.98% sack rate, 11th in the NFL, but they are number one in pass rush win rate. So what does that mean? Well, they're going to get pressure on them, but they're only in the top third in terms of actually getting the sack. But I think the win rate is probably a more accurate representation because we have a sample size of one game. So they can just win here. On the Bengals side, they come in 14th. So I'm going to be looking on the prop side of things to be playing sack totals for the Rams and not just Aaron Donald because there's a chance he's going to get double teamed and do his thing, but the ancillary pieces around there because we even saw in the Chiefs game, Joe Burrow got away just by the skin of his teeth. And that margin of error in sports, the roll of a pocket, ball going in and out, getting out of the shoelaces of a sack, that can very easily be a completely different game if Chris Jones is sacking Joe Burrow. But now here comes Aaron Donald, and he can make that happen.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that because O-line and defense is what wins football games, right? It's underrated, but that's a good example was last year when we saw the Bucs dominate that game against Patrick Mahomes, right? So to your point, looking at statistics, this one definitely has that vibe to it. And just a couple more stats. The Bengals offensive line give up the most sacks in the regular season at 51, and that O-line ranks 30th in pass block win rate. So, you know, everything you said is 100% true. And that's the biggest thing that worries me. But I love how you took that and now you're going to spit it into prop bets because I was looking at the same thing. And I feel like the big names in the prop bets are always a little bit overinflated, right? So, you know, whoever we're thinking about, Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald. And so finding those ancillary pieces, just like we saw last year, a couple of those guys on that Buccaneers line got in the action, right? Not just the big ones. So, you know, I can see Leonard Floyd, for example, having a huge game because he's got that speed. And especially if Aaron Donald's getting double teamed. So I love that breakdown. I loved how you look at the statistics. And you're right. 9 out of 10 times, whoever wins that O-line, D-line battle is who's going to win. Just case in point, Tom Brady, right? The only time he's ever lost in the Super Bowl is when his offensive line, when he got beat up, when he got pass rushed against it, you know. So that's what we saw last year with that Buccaneers versus Mahomes matchup. And it definitely has that feel this year, but I feel like that's something that everyone is kind of pointing out. And I've talked to a couple odds makers and they're like, hey, we've taken that into account already, kind of baking that in. And that's why I love the angle that you're taking, trying to find some prop bets that you can take advantage of.
And this is a great segue to looking at the total here. So we're sitting there at 48.5 and over all of the Super Bowls, over under 27 for the over, 27 for the under. All right, so we're sitting in a 50-50 proposition, and my first default was to go under in this game. And why is that? Because one, what we just talked about from the sack rate percentage, that it may be more challenging for the Bengals to score if they're under pressure a lot. Here's the problem. I said the exact same thing last week about the Chiefs. I'm like, how in the world are the Bengals going to stop the Chiefs pass rush? They're down 21-3. I'm like, I am so smart. I saw this a mile away. All of a sudden, things turned right there. We know in the Super Bowl, the public is going to bet the over. No one rolls into their Super Bowl party and is like, say hello to Mr. Under. But guess what? My default is the under and prop bets across the board everywhere because for the overs to hit, things have to happen. So you're at an advantage in the under. The bookmakers, of course, know that people are going to be betting the over and everything. And a few more things of note here. The lowest scoring game in Super Bowl history, Patriots versus Rams, 2019. Final score, 13-3. Who was the head coach of that three? Sean McVay. So now we bring in Matthew Stafford, a quarterback who, while he's now at the Super Bowl, he was one dropped interception from the narrative of Matthew Stafford throwing terrible interceptions being back there. I trust Joe Burrow more than I do Matthew Stafford. So there's an element for me of the Rams that I just don't trust, which is making me lean towards the under.
I like that. And I'm with you. Just I'm a contrarian in general. And so I like the under right off the bat. But my strategy is probably I'm going to wait as close as game time as possible because of what you said. Every single person is going to bet the over on this game, right? And they're going to have to move that line up a little bit, and every point matters. And another angle I'm looking at, just to piggyback off of what you said, was the first half under. I really think there's some value there. Teams come out tight. Both Joe Burrow and Matthew Stafford's first time in the Super Bowl. You already laid out how McVay did the last time, right? And same thing with Zach Taylor. It's his first time in the Super Bowl. So I think they're going to be super conservative to start this game. And then we'll see it open up a little bit in the second half. And so I like both of those plays. I like the first half under, and I like the game under, but I'm probably going to wait a little bit closer to kickoff there.
Of note, each of the past three Super Bowls have gone under. So here's the other part of this, the alternate line. So if you wanted the over, the highest that I saw was at 56. You can get it at plus 230. To put that into perspective, the highest scoring Super Bowl in NFL history, 49ers beat the Chargers 49-26, a total of 75 points. On the flip side, the lowest under that I saw was at 41 points at plus 243. And why is that of note? The most common NFL total since 2015 is 41, followed by 40. The Cincinnati Bengals this year have been an under team, 8-12. The Rams, 10-9-1 to the over. So they're sort of neutral there. So when looking at this, once again, I feel like there's opportunity depending on how you feel, where if you want to go under, why not sprinkle a few points lower and all of a sudden start getting plus 200 type money?
You got it. No, that's a great strategy to use. And I would also maybe circle back to the live betting as well. So if you see an early score, something crazy happens, a kickoff return or a pick six or a fumble recovery, you know, something just out of the norm, that might also give you a good opportunity to live bet the under, where you get a couple more of those points added on. But I do love your logic there. And again, at the end of the day, it's all about, to me, over the last few years, it's how can I get that plus money? And so I love your alternative lines, you know, plus money kind of thinking, because the game is hard to beat. The market is super efficient now, right? And so, you know, even if we're winning every two out of three bets, a lot of times you're paying some juice or something, you know, it all adds up over the long run. So if you're getting plus money on some of these bets, like you're saying, and that's why during the NFL season, I've been starting to bet a lot of underdogs on the money line. And so if I think they can hang in the game, I've just been grabbing the money line instead, just for some of the reasons that you've already pointed out on this thread. So in my opinion, that's another good way to look at the game when it comes to the total, is either grab the alternative line and get some plus money, or wait for a quick score if you like the under, or wait for a slow start if you like the over.
Well, both of these teams are also representative of the opportunity on a team that gets down in the second half. Their money line. So both teams down double digits, 21-3, I believe, for the Bengals. And the Rams were down either 10 or 11 points to the 49ers in the fourth quarter. And all of a sudden, boom, both of them are sitting there probably plus 300, plus 400. We, of course, have the example of the Patriots, the greatest outlier ever against the Falcons. But guess what? How many times are we seeing this? And I think it is because of how prolific the offenses have become, and there's been a shift now where the Chiefs score in 13 seconds, the Bengals come back from 18 points, the Rams come back from double digits. We see teams march down the field like this, like it's nothing, and this has become commonplace. So knowing that, I'm also going to be looking for the opportunity for the money line dog to see how high that gets.
I love it, man. And yes, I feel like every team besides my Chicago Bears has the opportunity to come back at the end of the game and score. So that's a great way to look at things. And again, just going back to the live betting angle. And so that might also give you a good hedge opportunity, right? So say you're on one squad and the other squad presents a lot of plus money line value, you can basically hedge and make sure that you come out on top by the end of the game, right? And so that's another great way to look at the game. And that's another thing that when I go back to my windows, that's what I'm looking at as well. Not only do I like the extra points, but if I can get plus 300, plus 400 on a game that was like plus 110 on a side that I like, to me, it's worth the sprinkle and it's worth the money. And in the long run, if you hit on some of those, you'll make money in the long run.
Yeah, and I would encourage anyone who wants to bet the Rams or is thinking about it, let's say the Rams go down 10-0. What is that money line looking like? All of a sudden, we're at plus 150. So based on what happens, how are you going to take that opportunity? Because remember, there's flow of the game. 10 points is just two touchdowns. That can happen. Touchdown, halftime, touchdown, boom, they're in the lead. We see how quickly it can happen. So play these scenarios out and say, listen, it may not have started the way that I wanted, but I trust my read of my process. So let's take advantage of this.
Definitely. No, you're right. And again, just for new bettors or, I mean, people that have been in the game a while, they have their systems and processes, but for casual bettors that are going to be betting on the Super Bowl, play out these scenarios, like you just said, and write them down on paper sometimes, right? And that way you have it in front of you. You guys are drinking, having a few brews, having fun watching the game. But if something happens, you can just look at your sheet real quick and be like, hey, this is one of the scenarios that I thought would play out. Let me log in and take advantage of this opportunity, right? And so that's the other big thing that I've started doing the last couple of years is just writing everything down, whether that's in a spreadsheet on your computer or a post-it or a note. I think that'll help you become a better gambler as well, but it'll help you when it comes to these live betting scenarios and windows, you know, or whatever you want to call it.
Vic, love jamming with you. Where can everybody connect?
Yes, sir. Well, always a blast talking to you, Rob. You can find me at DocSquad33 on Twitter or at VicChoxy33 on Instagram. You can find our work at foxsports.com on the odds tab. So that's been a lot of fun just writing about gambling. But I'm excited for the Super Bowl. If anybody has any questions or wants to chat, always feel free to hit me up on Twitter in DMs or just regular replies because I love interacting with people and talking gambling.
And Vic, I think you gave us our call to action. I want you to send us in the scenarios that you've created for yourself. Hit up both Vic and I on Twitter, at Rob Cressy, and say, hey, here's some of the scenarios that I'm playing out, because I think it'd be interesting to see where your mind is for what you're looking to capitalize on. You can also make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level attempt. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pumping in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.